These gays, they're trying to murder me.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Goodbye. I'm off. Read about that in the New York fucking Post.
Well.
Let me make you a promise. I'll only tell you my darkest secrets.
And then proceeds to give us absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
What secrets?
Absolutely nothing.
It's giving YouTube clickbait thumbnail secrets revealed 4 hour long video. Yet we learn absolutely nothing more than what we could have read in a headline.
It's literally, I'll tell you my darkest secrets. And then they just replay the clip like the of that of one newscaster saying, rumors that she had a drug problem that is out of control, like 47 times in the underscore.
But they never, ever elaborate.
Oh.
Or directly reference it whatsoever.
My thing was like, is that their like indirect way of saying that she's confirming she had a drug problem?
But then we get
they just like
an hour and a half about lupus.
I mean,
so we're just gonna recap it, right?
No, we have to. We have to say what we're doing.
Okay.
For those of you who didn't listen to the main episode,
oh, why would they not do that?
Because
how would you think our
some
fans
people
to,
maybe
listeners
just
to
pay
be...
to listen to the Hot Topics episodes? Can you imagine being that person? Wow, you guys.
We'll be in our DM soon.
Okay. So we're recapping Selena Gomez's new Apple TV Plus documentary, Selena Gomez, My Mind and Me, in which she documents her bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, and also not allegedly having bipolar, but like she details her bipolar disorder, the allegations around it, as well as her
the kidney stuff,
kind of
lupus coming back.
I mean, we don't even see Francia in the documentary,
nope.
Nor is her name.
There's like a photo. I do explain to Pierce when he's watching with me. I was like, oh, you. When we learned what happened there,
like
rough.
The way that she was not included in the documentary at all is
no
crazy.
No, because she's not. They're not even like friends anymore, are they?
Or,
like,
no, they don't. Even they don't speak anymore. To each other.
Yeah,
bitch, don't ever give me a kidney, and I'm never gonna give you one of mine. Let's just make that promise.
I doubt
now.
Ours are compatible anyway.
Why? Because
they'd be like, we put the mixtures
why,
together
and
it exploded or something.
Why? Because I drank too much?
Oh, no, because mine aren't great.
You don't
either,
want
probably.
My diseased alcoholic liver? Is that what you're saying?
Yours is probably healthier than mine now that you've been sober for 3 years.
That's like, probably true. I don't think it works like that, though, but that's
who
fine.
Knows? Who knows?
Okay.
This is an hour and 35 minute documentary that could have been 22 minutes long.
Maybe a 15 minute YouTube video. My favorite note that I have here is the very first note that I wrote. The weird textural moments in the documentary are kind of freaking me out. That's my very first note.
You're talking about when they do the cursive over the black and white.
They do the cursive over the black and white, and then there's like
heavy montages.
And then there's like her and like a net mask, like a net mesh face mask, like slowly turning her head across the camera to see the other side of her face, like dark to light. Like
it's a lot of looking in the mirror and standing.
I say this note later on in my notes, but like the amount of like weird graphical inserts of Selena like laying in an artistic bath covered by flowers.
Okay,
or, like,
what was up with the bath?
Like all of those moments are like her in like a black gown, like sitting in a black room, like staring off into a black window.
It was
like
giving American Beauty. Like
it's like, not even that. It just made me mistrust everything because I was like, if there was this much like artistic design of the documentary, like. It's more of like promo and like a music video in and of itself.
That's all
than
it was.
Is like an actual documentary about literally anything.
No, this was all a promo for the comeback song after being, you know, kind of on hiatus for a few years.
For a song about. Okay. So
again, I said this on Discord, but that tweet of that woman, was it just saying women heart emoji? That's enough feminism for today. I think that was this movie as mental, like just mental health. Was
so, she says, quote, everything I've ever wished I've had and I've done it all, but it's killed me because then there's always Selena. So it jumps back to 2016 and we hear the words, she's been dubbed the queen of the social media. We hear about Justin Bieber in the first 3 minutes, but she never says his name. It's a newscaster being like, reports that her and Justin Bieber have broken up. And then she's performing, she's getting ready for the tour for Revival, which is once again, a good album, I will say, for what it was. Oh, the rhythm takes you
over. Yeah, I mean, I've heard all those songs a million times. Even though I don't actively listen to Selena, they're still bops.
Dun, 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 dun.
It is
Everybody
upsetting.
Wants to get some. Everybody wants to be some. Everybody's song about love. When I move my body.
I'll let you have
I'm
that.
About to say da, 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 da,
you were kind
da,
of reeling yourself da, to be like a Selena stan da, da, on the Discord da, da, earlier, da, da, I noticed.
Yeah. Oh, all I need is the rhythm. No, I was never a Selena stan. I was an Arianator, but
true.
Still a proud Arianator. I carry my Arianator flag high, okay?
I will say
Ariana had the superior album that year, okay?
Well, that's tea.
That's more than tea. That's fact. That's scripture. That's the Bible, okay? Put it in the Bible and make Justin Bieber read it on Instagram.
It was rough that, like, basically we start with her immediately talking about how insecure she is with her body and how she doesn't want to look childlike anymore and how she wants, that like, was, a bigger ass and breasts.
No, that was... I have it exactly, actually, what she says there. She says, I want the body and to wear it proudly and the booty I don't have, but my body is very young. If I was a guy, I could just wear jeans. Yep. And she's in this like bedazzled one piece.
She says, quote, too childlike.
Yes. I will say, so then they do a concert montage of her getting ready for the concert.
Yeah, doing the rehearsal.
And of like doing the rehearsal. And I just have to say, during the like climactic song, that like, mesh robe and nude bodysuit that they had her in was like real tough. Like,
didn't she even say like my pussy's out in every outfit?
It was a devastating outfit to look at. I was like, I'm devastated for Selena. And then it gets immediately darker than I ever could have imagined.
Breakdown upon breakdown.
She comes back. She says, quote, it sucks. All of it. It just looks so bad. I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. From the beginning, I get the voice that comes in my head that says, it sucks. And then I'm sitting and I trip over the clothes and it sucks the life out of me. And she's weeping after this very first dress rehearsal.
Yep.
Like, true breakdown, having like a genuine breakdown about how it's all terrible. She's a fraud. No one likes her.
And she kept talking about her like her past self and how she doesn't want to be seen as the Disney kid anymore, which we talked a lot about in part one.
Yes.
Of her series. Yeah, it was really intense. And then
mid all of this, the A&R guy from Interscope Records.
Yes. They're like, he's coming.
I will say they put a lot of fillers in her face. And when she's crying, it like... It's weird to see someone who I knew at this point was like 21 not be able to move her face.
Yeah, it's confusing.
It was just like a weird dissonance, right? Because it's like something you expect on The Housewives, but not something that you expect on Selena Gomez when she's talking about how childlike her body is. Like, it's just like a weird...
It's pretty upsetting.
Like, that's what I was also saying in our main episode about how like men are allowed to age and girls have to stay girls forever, you know? Like, so the guy comes in. And the first thing she says to him is, does it feel young? I want nothing more than to be my past. Which I'm not laughing at that. I'm just laughing because like I was watching it and I was literally like the haha, what the fuck meme. I was like, and the guy just like gives her this like speech.
We love you.
About how she's amazing.
We cheering love you. For you. We loved
it. Was her. Sick. It was bomb, Selena. It was so great. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, and then the girls who later become people I actually want drone striked are like, oh my God, no, you should have seen how they were reacting. They were cheering you on. They love you, girl. Like, you're crazy to think that way. And you're like, they've done this 100,000 times, this conversation.
Like, and I just like the way that like her A&R guy, you can tell he's like, I literally have to just keep this ball rolling. And at that point, if I'm her A&R guy, I'm like, shut it all down. Literally shut it all down. This person cannot handle this. This person is not stable enough to do this, which is not a criticism. It's fact. And she says it later.
And it becomes much more this of a person, fact.
She literally can't get through a single moment of this beginning of the tour without having a breakdown at every turn. Like, cries nonstop. And it's like, the fact that everyone was like, let's keep it going.
Because hundreds of millions are on the line and they don't want to do any of the work that will cost them that money.
Yeah.
And then, okay, they casually bring up the blood pressure monitor that she has to use for her lupus. And she like so casually is just like, yeah, if it hits this like number, it means I'll have a stroke. Thankfully, it's not that number today, though.
Yes. And
everyone's just like, should we keep this like on you? Like,
and she's like, it's fine. Just keep it in the van, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what else is a symptom of high blood pressure.
So we get a montage
of
the tour.
Not a symptom. Sorry. What other thing high blood pressure is a symptom of?
Yes.
But we do hear a newscaster during the tour montage once again repeat the rumors she had a drug problem thing. So, you know, just things to think about.
Yeah. So we get that.
You're on Patreon, I could be a little more direct.
Yes, we can. We get the montage of her tour, allegedly going great. She's having a good time. But again, then it starts to slowly edit in the pap shots, the press asking her if she's drinking again, you know, are you seeing Justin?
And then they bring on her former assistant who reveals that she was with Selena when Selena attempted to commit suicide.
Yes.
Or was talking about it.
Yes.
TW from ideation. Here on out for yeah. ideation.
Yeah.
And I was like, the way that that doc said former assistant, I was like, it was devastating, one, to be labeled former assistant, but then to be asked back by your former employer to talk about their suicidal ideation, I was like, this is...
Yeah, I can't. I don't even know what to say about it, honestly. it's just upsetting.
Okay, so...
She starts to lose it on this tour.
Yes.
It starts to go more downhill.
And they cancel it.
They have that shot of her trying to play the piano and she like can't do it. And she's like sobbing on stage, which was really brutal.
It was really brutal.
And it's already, and this will keep happening in the documentary, but it's so insane how like she's so concerned about everything going on. Meanwhile, her fans, I think if she just stood there for 5 minutes, didn't do anything, they would like lose their mind and explode.
Well, because you know they love her no matter what she does.
Yeah, they don't care about what she does whatsoever. But yeah, then she cancels the tour. Cue the like talking about how she wants to die, the ideation, how she's on the edge. They bring in her mom and her close friends.
And the way the mom says that she found out about her mental breakdown through TMZ and the fact that she was hospitalized.
Yeah, and Selena doesn't out about want it her on to TMZ. See her. Like, Selena's like, I don't want to see you or be around you. We also don't really see the mom ever again in this documentary.
Well, because she wasn't involved in the...
Yeah.
Her life at that point.
I see. And then there is parts where they talked about how she's in a psych ward and how she's a completely different person than who everyone was familiar
with. Yeah, and I don't want to linger too long on the bipolar stuff because I think it was just like really, really sad.
Yeah, that's when she comes out about being diagnosed.
And I think it speaks for itself. So she talks about how they diagnosed her with being bipolar and she wakes up and she comes out of psychosis. She admits to having a psychotic break.
Yeah.
And she has this episode of psychosis. She comes out of it. And she kind of is like coming in and out of it while she's with her mom and her family. And they're telling her about like what she's done the night before and she doesn't remember. And like it just is really dark.
She was lashing out.
That she gets trapped in. And she talks about how, you know, when everything gets too much, she goes back to the place where she feels welcome and she feels home. She gets away from it all. So she takes a plane to Texas.
Back to the hometown.
And more than any other scene in this documentary or set of scenes, this was the one I took the most notes on and also devastating beyond belief.
Again, the Jesus like metaphor is mentioning the other episode is really in play here when she's going back to her hometown, like casually hugging the children.
And this is a common documentary thing, like, oh, we're going to go to my hometown and see where I grew up.
Yep.
But it's, and when she goes back a second time during COVID, I was like,
that, we'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she goes to her high school with her cousin, who she says was very close to her, knows her better than anyone.
I didn't know anything about this cousin being her, like, allegedly, like, the closest person she has.
Well, because I think the cousin just lives in Texas, has a family in Texas.
Yeah. So she's not on tour with her.
But she, like, talks about, like, oh, I used to hang out here and go here, and this is the house we grew up in.
I like how she does go to this high school, allegedly, like, completely. Okay. By surprise, because so they're
she
like,
goes by surprise,
yeah,
and rings the buzzer. And the lady's like, I need your driver's license, I can't just let a stranger into the high school. And she's like, and my favorite thing is, my name is Selena,
yeah, she
and
like was, won't say it, but will.
And the receptionist is like, okay, hi, Selena, we can't just let strangers into the high school. And I was like,
Like, just say your full name,
and you
bro.
Can see her. No, no, Matt. This they can see it on video.
Oh, you're right. They can. Yeah, because they asked her to hold up the ID to the camera. Like,
and she doesn't have a driver's license. She's like, well, I don't have a driver's license, so okay, well, never mind. And on her way out, she meets like the superintendent or something.
Yeah, like some staff manager.
And they're like, oh my god, Selena Gomez. And she gets like, get the fuck in. Like, and this was the darkest thing I've ever seen in my life. So she goes, and I wrote, and I'm just going to read my note during this because, again, I wrote this down. I said, I think it's dark that in this scene is her satiating purely a childhood fantasy, and she completely disrupts everyone's day. And I mean, ultimately, I don't think anyone cared, but it's extremely dark to be a very famous person going to the place you grew up, and it's just regular ass people with their regular ass lives, and everyone has to treat you like you're a celebrity, and you get to walk around like, wow, this is the bench I used to sat at. And everyone's like, wow, oh my god, that's the bench you sat on. Yep, or she goes into the cafeteria and she's like, this is the cafeteria seat, and I sat here and nobody talked to me. And everyone's like,
yeah, splicing in her cousin being like, yeah, she was the outcast. Like,
or like,
because I guess her sister was like the captain of the cheerleading team or
walking
something.
Through all the hallways, and everyone's like, oh my god, Selena, oh my god, Selena. And
they were losing like, their fucking
she's
minds.
Giving speeches about like, the teachers aren't so bad, kids. And I was like,
oh my god, yeah, she's like on the intercom, like, hi, it's Selena. Like,
and I was just like, you're satiating your childhood fantasy. Like, you're putting basically, like, it's this thing that celebrities do, right? Where they're the main character of reality and everyone has to be an NPC in their video game of life. And she goes there and she's like, I'm gonna relive my childhood years. Completely disrupts everyone's day, like, shows up unannounced. The security's like, what the fuck? Why are you
here? And meanwhile, every time she goes into a classroom, she just starts going, you know, achieve your dreams. Anything's possible. She just gives these motivational speeches.
And also, by the way,
unprompted.
Didn't give them a heads up that she's showing up with a documentary film
Yeah,
crew.
Apple TV camera is just like.
And all the people are like, okay. And now they have to give her a tour around the school show her around.
And the kids are all like, signature, like, sign my notebook.
It was dark. And then she goes to her childhood home. And
that was devastating, not only because the people living there now look like they live even more devastating lives. It was like very arm mill living space, like the endless black armchairs with like automatic footrests.
And the room.
And like neon blue light.
I was just like, you know, like, what?
Nothing on the walls, no decor.
Like, I was like, you know what? Don't take us into the room with no furniture and just a single ironing board.
Yes, yes. She's like, can I go to the closet? I want to see my drawings about Cole Sprouse are still there. And I was like, mama.
No, but also, like, I was looking around it and rough. I was like, not the furniture, but I'm saying, like, the space. I was like, this is just our apartment. Like, I was like, this is where we live. And she's like, wow, can you believe I used to live in this? And the guy's standing there like, yeah, could you imagine having to live
here?
They have,
here? Like, no idea who she is at all. She's
no, but, like, can
part.
You imagine some celebrity shows up at the house you live in and it's like, man, I lived here when I was poor, and then goes into your room and is like, wow, can you believe I used to have to live in this room? And it's like, yeah, I do, because I live here currently.
It was kind of wild, though, when they did find the drawings in, like, the garage.
Of
I
her
think.
Being like, I heart Cole Sprouse. Yeah, yeah.
That aged well.
Okay. Okay. This is my...
Okay, when she looks into the mirror... No.
And
this
exclaims...
This was the mirror.
There's a picture of me in here from when I booked Barney.
Yep. This is the mirror I looked into right after I
booked
Barney.
7 years old when I got my first job. I got to escape and go into Barney land whenever I wanted to and not have to deal with my problems.
Oh, and then we get the, like, at most 60 to 90 second edit of, like, her entirety at Disney and Barney and everything, which yes. I was like, oh, so Apple is like, we're not touching up the 10 fucking foot pole. Like, there's no way they could confront anything that happened at Disney.
Later
legally.
On in the documentary, did you notice that part where she feels triggered because she feels like she's dressed like a witch?
Oh, yes, I
and
have notes.
She
about
goes,
that.
I'm dressed like a witch. And I was like, oh, like being perceived as a witch, the Wizards of Waverly Place is the trauma for that.
Yes.
This deep that yes, you can't
it
even.
Is. It's sprinkled so lightly in this documentary because, again, Apple has no balls to actually confront what that
so
was.
So she says that her mom was going to change their life when they moved to LA. She was very young, she was like prepubescent. her mom was a single mom. They had no money. And she had her when her mom was in high school. And so she basically became her mom's primary source of income, like very, very quickly.
Where have we seen this before?
Where have we seen this before? But okay.
Are we going to talk about the dollhouse? Are we going to talk about it? We don't have to because I don't know if I can.
Okay, so for context, she's walking down the street of this place that she grew up, and she sees this house, and she's like, oh my God, I can't even talk about it. She's like, remember the dollhouse? Remember she used to have a dollhouse, and I used to make fun of her all the time. And you and I are thinking, oh my God, she's gonna meet like someone she went to high school with or something.
Nope.
No, Matt. And so then she answers, she rings the door, and a very old man answers the door. And you know what I was immediately reminded of? On HBO Max, have you seen the cartoon Smiling Friends?
No, I haven't.
It's a show about like these like cartoon characters. Their job is to like make people smile. And in the very okay. first episode, they like get a commission from a mom to like make her son happy. And they think her son is going to be like a little boy. And then they answer the door and the mom is like 90 years old. And when she leads them into the living room, it's like an 80-year-old man with a gun. And like they're like, oh, we thought you were going to be a kid. That's how I felt when she came in this door and literally sitting there.
It was
in
shocking.
A hospital gown and, you know, hair loss through medical treatments and like a broken leg.
Yeah.
This woman who obviously had just recently had surgery, but like is older than my grandmother.
Yeah.
At least. And she's like, oh, hi. And I immediately was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And Selena sits down with her and is like, how's your leg? And she's like, how's your lupus, Selena?
Oh my God. When it's about like her, like Selena's health.
Yes. And Selena's detailing her medical journey to this woman who can't even get up.
Yeah. She couldn't even stand to give her a
hug. Because she had surgery in like her 80s.
Currently like on IV, I think even.
Yes. There's like an IV bag. And like Selena interrupts her and goes, oh my God, is that the dollhouse?
It's a pretty big and nice dollhouse, though. I will not lie.
It's big. But like the bit where she's like, I used to love this dollhouse. I lived in this dollhouse. I was like,
I felt like we were way too deep into her psyche at this moment. Like, I wanted out immediately.
But also, like, obviously this was a woman who like, must have trauma. Watched Selena when her mom was out.
Yeah, and I do feel like that was probably one of the, like, more pure, like, relationships that she used to have. Like, yeah, it definitely felt very
But, like, this woman
special.
Was like, I'm so happy you showed up. Like, I'm so happy you came. But the husband looked, like, so mistrustful of Selena. Was like, who are you?
Well, when you show up with the film crew to do all this. I'm sorry, like, we watched enough Housewives to know this, but like the presence of a camera is just inherently going
inauthentic.
To affect, inauthentic. And I felt like watching this, I was just like, would you have gone in?
No.
Like, would you have done any of this?
No.
Like, when's the last time you saw her? It seemed like it was a very long time ago.
When you were a kid before you moved.
It was, that's the thing I kept feeling. That's how I felt watching a lot of this documentary. I was just like, oh, but this is all for this. Like, this is all for the promo of this upcoming song and album and everything else. And it was just sad, honestly.
So I literally was like, the dollhouse bit is almost too dark to talk about.
It really was.
So then like, it cuts to her on a plane and they're like, are you sure you want to talk about being bipolar? Selena, she's prepping a speech for a gala at a psychiatric hospital that she, I guess, donated money to. They don't really make it clear why.
I couldn't even tell who or what this was for.
It was a gala for the psychiatric hospital.
She's just suddenly speaking in front of a lot of professionals. Yeah. I did realize in this moment, though, and we'll talk about this more later probably, but like I did realize, oh, the only way she could probably even get some relief or help mentally is to make her career out of mental health. Like I was realizing that as I was watching it, like, not that Selena's really making strides in the mental health community per se. I mean, it's arguable, I'm sure.
I mean, she says that it's the only reason she's still a celebrity is so that she can change people's mental health.
You're right. But like, that's how I felt when I was watching it, where I was just like, oh, you have to do this to like maybe not feel like you're at the edge at all times.
Yeah.
But as we see later.
Okay. So I was triggered by this because, again, she's there. She's on the plane, right? And again, it's like, you're literally leaving your small Texas town, getting on a private fucking plane, and like you have like 47 people pampering you, and your PR lady's like, okay, so I just want to circle back to the bipolar thing. Are you sure you want to say it? Because then that just becomes the narrative, you know? And she's like, well, if the director is like not going to work with me because I'm bipolar, then like, why would I want to work with them? You know?
Well, I mean,
and the post is like, okay, let me go print this page out again. So she goes to the gala, she reveals all this, blah, 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 blah. But the devastating part is this is what it is like to be a person who shares parts of yourself to other people, I think. I have certainly, like, been places with people who, like, listen to the podcast or read my writing, and then they just, like, unprompted start telling me deeply personal information about themselves. You've seen it happen, too.
Oh, yes. Time and time again.
And I can only imagine when you're a pop star, which is like a level, obviously, I will never achieve and can't comprehend, the way that girl at the gala just starts randomly, unprompted, telling Selena Gomez about her suicide attempt. And Selena interrupts her to give her a hug, I think almost because she's like, I don't want to talk about this with you. So the girl's like, yeah, you know, in last year and Selena just gives her a hug and is like, we don't even need to finish
this. We really don't.
But it must be devastating to have to be like, the sponge for all of that.
That's all. And that happens more and more. People just really come up to her and are just like telling her like the darkest parts of their life and how she brought them out.
So I didn't take notes for a little bit, but eventually she ends up in Kenya with the Wee Charity, which.
Okay. That? The Kenyan school. Like,
so she is being told by everybody, like, are you sure you want to go to Kenya? Because you have this album promo. And
you have to go straight to London.
You have to go straight to London for promo and do all these days. It's going to be like 2 weeks of hell. And then you have to shoot the music video.
And just to get like a bunch of shots.
You really want to go to Kenya, right? Like, are you sure? And she's like, no, it's like the most important thing. So she goes to Kenya. And
it's just like everything. If y'all haven't seen it.
Everything about like white savior porn.
It was that. It was 100% everything you've seen on Facebook from people who like do missionary work in Africa. Like,
and this girl is talking about coming from a family with 8 children.
Okay.
And how her family couldn't afford to send her to school. And she has to provide for everyone. And Selena interrupts her mid-sentence about the 8 children and goes, so do you believe in love?
That was like, I didn't even know how to react to that. And she, like, keeps pestering because they, like, don't really answer her question or understand what she's trying to say.
No. She does the, like, okay, I'm saying this as a person of church camp experience. There's a kind of question circle, right, where you're, like, in a small group. And the person's like, okay, name the last time you sinned. And then looks around, no one answers. Come on. Name the last time you sinned, guys.
Oh, God. Oh, you know, like peer pressure.
Pressure.
And indoctrination
so
tactic.
So this girl who like must be half her age goes, she goes, do you believe in love? And then everyone's like kind of taken aback. And Selena looks around.
Yeah,
and
they is don't like, want to answer it.
Like looking at them like the, does the like RuPaul like, and goes, so do you believe in love? And she slows it down again and goes one more time. Do you believe in love? And they all are like, yes.
Like she's like, you love each other, you love your family. And they're like, yeah. And then that one girl's like, well, I don't really think I, you know, will have a relationship till I'm out of school. Like, that's my focus. And she's like, truer words, like, or something.
And I was like, babe, this is the way that this is literally the only way that you can connect to other people.
No, but earlier before that, when one of the kids asked her, like, oh, like, did you finish grade 12? And Selena's like, well, I finished grade 8. And then 9 through 12 was kind of online or on set. It's a whole thing, but, like, it was really good. And, and all these kids are, like, clearly, like, oh, boy, more educated than she is through this school program. And they're just looking at her like, huh.
This okay. school that's being ran by a scam charity.
Which, yeah. Okay. But the part, which I couldn't even tell how I felt about it, really, when I think it's Raquel, again, the there's like these two white girls that are always wearing jeans and black t-shirts that are just awful. And they're talking to Selena, and Selena's like talking about how she hasn't had like any nightmares since she's been here, and how like happy being here has made her. And that friend on her team, or like one of her like kind of mains, is like, this is their reality, not yours. Like, you're not this is not reality for you, Selena. Like, these are these people's lives, and you're here for a week visiting.
I liked what she said.
No, she was completely right.
People are dragging Raquel online and is like literally dragging her to death. And I'm like, I don't understand necessarily in this moment what the issue is, because she's being real with Selena. She's like, Selena, like, she's like, Selena's like, I just want to stay here, and like, I don't want to go back, and like, this is like real
life. And Raquel's like, we can come here every like quarter, we can come every few months, but like, it's not your life. Like, this doesn't relate to you at all.
It's true though. It's like, her friend is being real with her.
Yeah.
This is not your life. You are an interloper. You are here for a minute. And when you go, all these people's lives have to continue. Yep. And also, what they're doing while you're here is not real either, because you're here and everything is about you while you're here.
Yep.
And their lives are also not real life right now, because they're in the Selena Gomez bubble with you.
Yep.
And when you go, they have to keep living, and your life is not this.
The closest you'll relate to them is when you're at this school doing this. Everything else will be even more foreign and distant from you. There's one of the girls at the school is telling her about how she had to drop out of school because her like father passed away and he had all the money, and that's how she's able to go to school. So she had to go back to like collecting water and making food for the family.
And going and down to the river to collect the water. And she literally was like, and okay, now this is the part where I had some issues with Raquel. She's talking about how at
Raquel's
one point,
definitely not great, but
on a scale of
right? Yeah.
She's sitting there talking about how she has to support all her family now. She's like going down to the river to have to lug this water, and it's really hard labor, and she had to drop out of school, and it was really devastating. And she says like there were times when she contemplated just like throwing herself into the river and ending it.
Yeah.
And Raquel's sitting there, face full of fillers. And a real tacky bleach job in the background listening to this. And her only job is seemingly like being Selena Gomez's friend. And I'm like, what must it feel like to be you? Right? Because it like,
it's a very weird
Selena
position
is the product, right?
Right?
So she's working in the sense that she has to be in front of the camera. She has to dance.
Yeah.
She's on tour. She's doing all
she's
that.
She's all public facing.
And I'm not saying like doing her assistant stuff isn't a real job, but I'm just saying like, Raquel is not her assistant. Raquel's her posse, right? And she's sitting there. Her job is to accompany Selena on this trip. And she's listening to this person tell like the most brutal story ever about how freaking difficult it is to support herself. And I'm like, what must that feel like inside to be that person?
It's
living
really
off
weird.
Of Selena Gomez.
Well, that's why I have a problem with her, especially later on, where I'm like, you quite literally will never know what it's like to be in this person's position, even though you have like direct control and influence over every minute of their life. And it's a really weird balance to be in. I don't think I'll ever have an answer to it, but yeah, I feel the same way though.
They eventually get back.
Okay, when they go back to London, and it's like the exact opposite of what we just saw again.
Like, oh, she becomes
glam jets, like the whole works.
And I will say, I did side with Raquel during the fight, because Selena is sitting there with 47 people at least doing her hair, doing her makeup, brushing her teeth for her, painting her nails, painting her toes, exfoliating her skin, doing her makeup.
Yep.
And she's like, I just can't go see our friend. Like, I'm so tired. And Raquel's like, okay, but why are you having a bad attitude about all this? And so he's like, I just woke up and I am such a like hard worker. And you're implying that I'm not grateful for all of this, that I don't like my job, and that I'm not grateful for everything that I have, da 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 da. And I was like, Selena, no offense, it kind of seems like you're ungrateful for all of this. And also that like, you kind of take it for granted. And I mean, also, you don't have to do this.
Like, yeah.
You don't have to be
I originally was kind of like, Raquel, you're being awful and doing exactly the opposite of what Selena's like new career pivot is about right now, but I have changed my mind since then, because like you just said, she doesn't have to be here. And if she's, and I feel like I do, I am on the side too. And I know you and I are very similar in this. If you're going to do something, like, do it with integrity, unless you're truly forced and it's like survival instincts, or like you have to do it to survive. That's one thing. But no, when but you're, when you're in a life like this, like, this is all your choice.
She can take 2 years off to
she
just
can completely opt out.
She can take 2 years off to focus on her mental health. Right. Like, there are people with bipolar disorder, as someone who has bipolar disorder, who mm-hmm. don't get time off when our brains decide to
exactly.
go against us. We have to continue going to our jobs and supporting ourselves. Some of us don't have fucking healthcare, right? And all I'm saying is that this is someone who has been so traumatized by this industry, right? And it's that child star mentality of like, this is all I know how to do. I don't have any other skills. Right? She can give her money to We Charity, but look how that turned out, because she can't use context clues about We Charity, even though, by the way, before it had its major downfall, it was plagued by scandal, if you go back, for like a decade, right? People were ignoring the very obvious signs that We Charity was a fucking scam and full of horrible, horrible shit. And they ignored it until it became unignorable.
Until it was like national news. Also, until it was convenient for her to explain why she can't go back to Kenya, because COVID also at the same time was happening. She's like, oh, well, you know, I know that. She said on the whole We Channel Scarity, when it was like breaking on CNN about them, what was it? They were doing this thing where they were basically sending evidence and photos of people donating money to these schools when they had actually sent those same images and stats to like many people. So instead of one person or a few people funding this one like location, they actually were basically having like multiple groups of people funding this. Yeah. And so basically they were overfunding these schools by heavy amounts, and the overfunding went to the administrative costs, just like every nonprofit, basically. The people
literally
that run it are just making
UNICEF
millions off of
the
it.
Same thing.
Yeah. It's nothing new. But she says it so casually, like, oh, I just knew their hearts were in the right place though. And I'm just like, okay. But also back to
the fight
when she's having the fight with Raquel, when she kind of casually admits that the nightmares have come back since she got back into this, I was like, a sign again that this should all fucking stop.
No, but that's the thing.
Like, you're not okay.
Obviously, she's an adult, right?
Yeah.
She's not in a conservatorship, nor should she be, because no one should be. But like, at that point, I feel like this is the thing with Hollywood, right? Like, money is money. So if someone tells me they want to do something, I'm just going to do it, even if it's obviously bad for them. We see that with child stars all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, everyone in her life is like, well, we're just going to take her money, right? We're not going to tell her no. We're not going to do it. We're going to like put guardrails up and give her good luck charms to go on tour with.
Oh, God,
and like
the good luck charms.
Give her sleep tea and herbs and like stay up watching movies with her, even when she's being a brat and like all this stuff. But no one's saying like, hey, Selena, let's just not do this.
It's all arrested development. Like, it really is. Like, they don't want to ever confront or do the work that's required.
I was so triggered when, after the fight, Raquel immediately just gets on her phone. And I was like, ah!
No, listen. When later on, when she does that interview that she claims is, like, stupid, and the interview's not listening, and she, like, gets fully triggered, that was dork.
No, that was the
when she's
hardest
like
thing
crying
I've ever
crying about how horrible it was, and her team is dead silent. It literally looks like when a fight broke out and everyone around you is like looking to the wall and to the corners of the room so they don't have to engage because they have no idea what to say. And I'm like, one, you can't even give a casual like, oh, you're so right, or oh, that was awful. They can't even like pretend to care. They just are like dead silent. And then she starts getting into like how it triggered her. She said it reminds
me
of Disney.
Well, just to give it context. Yeah. This reporter sits down with her and is talking about like something and asks her about
like really dumb questions.
Dumb questions, quote unquote. But also, by the way, the reporter obviously did not speak English as the first language, right?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, English was their second language. They had a very heavy accent. It sounded like German or like.
Yeah, and this was all in London too.
Yeah,
so
Belgian or German else. Is Belgian the accent?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah,
Swiss, German, something like that, right? Like
they're all very
those,
close to each other.
One of those European countries.
Yes.
And so like her questions were kind of stilted because she was obviously like reading them in English. Yeah. And Selena, before the interview, even stands up to go and is like, wow, great questions. You really know me, don't you?
Oh, and when she's being interviewed for that and other ones, she truly looks like she wants to die and does not give a shit. Like, she is so, like, void.
And by the way, that reporter doesn't have to give a shit about you, okay?
Yeah.
She probably got paid pennies that year to do that shit for no money and no recognition. And you're going to make $1 billion off of this fucking moment in your life. And you're literally looking at this person like, fuck you for not caring about me and catering to me while you're here sitting with me for your job.
Well, this is the whole thing that like is so irritating about all of this. It's also conflicting. Like, you hate this work. You don't like doing this. It's brought you to a psychotic break. You chose to go back into it. You clearly hate it once you're back into it, but yet you continue. When you continue doing it, you complain to the people that are working hard for you to make it happen, but you don't stand up for yourself in those moments when you're there. You just act like entitled and bratty and divested completely from the situation. So it's like
tough because it's like this person
you
has
need
been,
autonomy like somewhere.
And also this person has been so clearly damaged. I don't want to sound like we're coming down so hard on her that we're not like being sensitive.
No, it's just upsetting.
Like, it's just upsetting because it's like so many contradictory opinions, yes, that I have about it
from like all directions.
Every time we watch more and more of this documentary, I was like changing my mind about it constantly because I was like, I don't know how to feel about this.
Like, why are you here? Why are they here? And then, like, again, like you said, the interview that's doing this is doing this because anybody will take Selena Gomez. Any outlet would be lucky to have her.
And by
her
the
on.
Way, most of the time when you're a reporter, unless you're extremely, like, respected and or people are actively seeking you out, like, you don't get to choose your assignments all the time. And if you're a staff at a magazine, sometimes it's just whoever's fucking available.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, and that's the reality, is it's the purple hits you up and the editor will be like, oh, Joan's not doing anything right now. Let's get Joan on that, right? So that lady probably didn't care about you. She might not have known anything about you. Obviously, journalists should do their due diligence and, like, Google and look people up. But
try,
like,
yeah, be invested.
But, in like, also, like, again, there's only so much that people can do in a day. And, like, you don't know that lady's story, right? You're having a horrible day, right? You're obviously miserable, but she, I think, can't extend how she feels
to anybody
about
else.
How her mental health feels to anybody else, right? Because she wants the benefit of the doubt that it's very difficult for her and that everyone in the world should know what's going on with her, but she's not thinking about, like, what's going on with everyone else in the world. And how that reporter might have felt.
She doesn't really.
What if that reporter got divorced that morning? Or, like, her mom died, or her dog died, or, like, she broke up with her boyfriend or her girlfriend? Like,
or, like, the thing you said, maybe she wasn't supposed to even work on this piece until the morning of because someone called out and she doesn't want to lose her job. So she has to take this.
Like, you don't know.
Selena doesn't ever show empathy to the people that work around her as well, who are working long hours as well to do the job they're doing. Like, maybe it's just not shown.
No, she acts like they're putting on her, which they are, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Like, the imbalance of power is there, but it's like, again, it doesn't feel like she's trying to extend that range. And then that moment, though, where she's talking about how triggering it was, she says, quote, it reminds me of Disney. It's like I'm a product. And she even says, it's like I'm back holding the wand again. Which,
no,
like,
no, yeah. So, no. So the exact quote is, I feel like a product. It was making me angry. It made me feel like Disney. I just spent years trying not to do that. I felt like a witch with all this outfit doing it with the wand again.
Traumatizing.
The Wizards of Waverly Place. Trauma. I was like, oh.
And that's why I hate this documentary too, because, like, they couldn't even attempt to look into any of that.
No.
It just has to be, like, very lightly sprinkled, only when she says it in certain moments.
She doesn't want to be defined by Disney. She says it over and over again. Yeah. She wants to not be about that time in my life. She gives, like, a 2020 NPR interview about all this where she's like, I would love to not be asked about these questions for, like, the rest of my life. Apologies for yawning.
Okay.
But then those things are, like, very actively happening to her. And I just think, again, this is what I was saying about Justin, is, like, the reason why it's easier and also more compelling to talk about what's going on in Justin Bieber's life and, like, what has happened to him is because, like, so much of it is public, right? Justin has copped to it, right? I'm not saying that his interviews are necessarily very good or that, you know, what's going on is, like, very necessarily, like, you know, not curated by Scooter and his people. But, like, in seasons of what I have seen of it, which is a documentary, like, he details how his, like, fucking security guards had to wake him up in the middle of the night to make sure he wasn't dead.
Yeah, to check his pulse.
To check his pulse.
Mama.
And how, you know, he had a codeine problem and how he was on pills and all this stuff. And, like, it's just hard to watch a documentary with someone who is trying to push a narrative that they are open and honest and they're breaking free and they're like going to be their authentic self. And it's me in my mind. This is my journey with my mental health. And we hear it all the time. Mental health, mental health, mental health, my mental health, my mental health. Mental health is so important. It's so important how I feel about my mental health. My mental health is so sacred. My mental health is so fragile. I want to share mental health. I want to change mental health. But she doesn't actually get into any of it. She's like asking viewers and fans to just buy the facade, not interrogate any of it. She's reticent to give anything up, but it's all spilling through the cracks. And it's just kind of like,
yeah, because it's there. Like, we know it's all there.
We can see it.
It's literally pouring out from
you. Literally say, it makes me feel like a witch. I feel like I'm back there doing it with the wand again.
Interrogate it, please. Also, like, why is there nothing about her therapist
bursting out of you?
Why is there nothing about her recovery? Like, we don't get anything about structured help.
The very next
scene. Okay, the interview in the mirror?
No. Oh, well, yeah. The interview in the mirror was with the envelopes. That was so demeaning.
That felt like a Black Mirror skit. Like, I was so shook.
So basically, they make her interview in the mirror and, like,
for some, was it even Apple TV?
I don't know what it was.
It wasn't, but it was like, but the, it was camera, like, was, game the camera was like game the camera they used in that shoot.
And they're like, open the envelope, Selena. And it's open, like,
envelope three. It's like in a black void room and she's just at like a beauty mirror.
And then the scene after, she's like in the limo, which is also the scene that opens the documentary. And Raquel is being like, did you take your meds, Selena? And she's like, yes. And she's like curled up in Raquel's lap like a dog.
Fetal position,
yeah. In the fetal position. Looks like she's gonna literally wither into dust. And, you know, Raquel's stroking her head. Like, it's very childlike in a really disconcerting way.
Oh, and the way she's like, I know, have you taken your meds? I know the answer, but you should. And I was like, oh, again, the thing where the people around you are managing your medication. Like, we don't know, but like, okay, but real quick, back to that mirror thing. The questions they ask her were like brutal. They were like, what song reminds you of love? And she just stares for like a minute straight and is like, I don't have an answer. She literally
crying.
Couldn't say anything, which I feel like that told me almost everything I needed to know about career at this point, that she doesn't even understand what she's done or what she's produced or has any personal connection to it. And then they even ask her, like, what do you see in the mirror? And she's like, she just breaks
down. And there's
down.
Just a lot. Okay, so it skips to COVID. And again, nobody is entitled to know this, right? But she has turned it into a product, her life experience, and she's trying to sell it to us on Apple TV. She got paid for this, right?
Oh, obviously. A lot of money.
And I'm just saying that if you're going to make money off this shit, you're going to sell it as a product. Like, Selena, we've seen a lot of musician documentaries, okay? Behind the music, very famously, like, right. We don't believe you. And when she skips over things like all the partying that was going down, she skips over the kidney transplant, doesn't talk about it. She doesn't talk
she
about the
does,
fact.
She does, but like it's as much as a headline did.
She doesn't talk about the fact that she was literally so drunk at the AMAs in 2019, the year before COVID, that she could barely even stand up. And when she's walking, remember when they're talking about, oh, are you going to do the performance at the American Music Awards? Like, she could barely stand up. Have you seen that video of her? It's really dark. I'm not suggesting people go make fun of it or laugh at it or like gawk at it, but yeah, she's literally like staggering down the carpet and she's visibly intoxicated. And it's like, you skip over that and go directly into like, I'm so happy now and my mental health is good and I'm like going to change the world and like, I'm going to meet with President Biden. And it's like, again, all of that's fine. You're allowed to do this. Nobody can stop you from doing it anyways. But like, if you're gonna get this story together and it's not even compelling and we know you're omitting things
that are like crucial
that are
to this.
Crucial but obvious to anyone with eyes, it's just like, what is the purpose of this?
That's what's so upsetting. And then you have like, I
it's
feel
like telling your business for no payoff, right? Because if she had gotten into it, if she had,
if
like,
she actually revealed
in,
serious stuff that
happened.
Oh my
god, literally, she would have had a billion more Instagram followers.
Oh, if she did what, but like, this, Jeanette, like,
blew up in her face, people hate this documentary.
If she even did what Jeanette McCurdy did in her book, where maybe she doesn't say exact names or give like all the tea and details about working for Nickelodeon, she gave enough to be like, here's a fucked up thing that happened to me here. Here's a person who took advantage of me. Here's a fucked up thing I saw. Here's how I emotionally developed during this time. Here's like the consequence of that time there. She did none of that. None of that whatsoever. She doesn't even do it to things that we're watching happen live. Like, she doesn't have enough. She doesn't really seem like she possesses self-awareness a lot of the time as well. And I think what bothered me too is once it hits 2020, the documentary just becomes like 30 minutes of filler. Like, very little happens. We're just getting lots of shots of her walking around and like breathing or something. Her lupus comes back. We don't really talk about what that entails except for her just not
being it's like a crying scene on a weird orbitry like chair, and she's like, the lupus is back and it hurts all over, and then the documentary just ends.
Kind of ends, yeah. And then they do have a thing that really stuck out to me that we see a lot in Justin Bieber later on in his life, and yeah, what we'll have in part 2 next week, where she basically says, God has given me this platform not to quit. And her friends around her keep telling her, you have like a duty. Like, now that, like, you know, you could quit, you could get out of this, but because God has given you this gift of being this, having this platform, you now have like this lifelong, you know, responsibility to maintain it. And she even says that too in the interview where she's standing in front of the mirror, where the question's like, what's your biggest dream? And she talks about how, you know, she basically wants to save someone's life or like help anyone that's struggling.
She wants a bill that like makes. I'm like, maybe you should have finished high school, because like the idea of like a bill that'll make it mandatory for kids to talk about mental health in school. Like, I get it, but it's like, Selena, you didn't go to high school. Like, you actually don't know what happens in high school.
Right.
Like, how are you the person that's equipped to like your very niche experience and also completely unrelatable experience with mental health,
right,
that is not like anyone else's, that isn't at your caliber? How are you the person that is going to change mental health in America?
And the way her, again, the people around her are like, why couldn't you do that?
And it's just hard because we just read Jeanette McCurdy's book, and it's like, I just am thinking about Jeanette McCurdy and what she went through and how she speaks about it now.
Yeah.
And how, like, I hate saying the word brave. People probably hate being called brave too.
Right.
But like, how genuinely brave it was to do what Jeanette McCurdy has done.
She kind of did it in the right way, it feels like too.
And
compared to everything
like
else we're seeing.
Genuinely, she's making a genuine change in the world.
She's in like long-standing recovery. She has she has therapists, and like she has a kind of like a track record and a program coming up to like deal with this and do this, and this book is a part of her therapy. And like I said before, she's talking about how she felt, how she resolved these things, or how she's coping with them now through all of this, and she's like letting it all out. So it feels very like self-aware, responsible, like cohesive, comprehensive. With Selena, it's like a meandering like set of just vague,
yeah,
and unspecified buzzwords.
And I went on all the different posts and I read all the different opinions and all the reviews. And like the universal theme that everyone has for this is like, what is the purpose of this documentary?
No, it had no purpose and no direction.
It doesn't have a through line. It doesn't have a through line.
It doesn't have a take. It's like, I said this right when we finished it to Pierce, who was watching with me. I literally said, this was so neutral, which we know in our ended movies, neutral is a stance and a take to have. It's a choice. It's a very deliberate choice. There's no narrator except for Selena. There's no structure. There's no like direction this takes at all. There's no stance it takes with anything. So you're kind of just left with like garbage. Like, it's like void space. Yeah, more questions than answers, almost.
Way more questions than... I don't think we got a single answer to anything.
It ends with her basically saying, like, it's just the beginning of a journey. And I was like, this felt like a very long transitionary sequence between, like, actual things that maybe happened. It was like we just got the transitions between real news.
It feels like the interstitial moments between what was actually going on in her life. It was all the spaces where there was, like, a bit of breathing room.
Yes.
But none of the times where...
she was actually going through it. It was so upsetting. I was so
angry
at the end.
It was really hard to watch. And I got to the end and I was like, wow, I feel literally nothing.
It's hard to because...
but
it's
just like really sad.
That's what I'm saying. Like all you see like the pain and you see like the aftermath or like the preamble to pain.
But I don't believe that she's healed.
Oh, God, no.
From the documentary.
She's like further, it feels like she's further damaged.
Yeah, it feels like it was worse for her.
Like, almost. And this is the thing where I, okay, back to the point I said earlier about like how a celebrity has to almost make mental health a part of their career to like actually seek help.
Yeah.
But what all I thought about too is kind of like how nonprofits co-opt the same thing. It's just a way for like her to tackle mental health without actually tackling it because it's now absorbed into her career and is now co-opted into like the capitalism and career of it all. So she's almost like furthering the lack of drive and lack of initiative to deal with this because she's almost claimed that she's done it and is on a healing path when she clearly hasn't. So it's more like she's cemented the stasis that she's going to stay in this position. And it's like, I was like, this is devastating. Like, this is like, and she's not the only one doing this in her career right now with how common this is becoming a topic du jour for like celebrities. Oh my God. I'm even more worked up in a way where I have no idea what I'm worked up about.
I'm just like, my God. As an aside.
Uh-huh.
Did you see there was a tornado in LA? Also, the video. The windows falling out of Salesforce Tower.
My partner Pierce was texting me yesterday when the wind was getting genuinely frightening. And wait, did you see the picture? I think I put it in the Discord of like a full redwood tree branch that like almost shattered our windows and like landed. It's like 15 feet long. Anyway, Pierce was texting
in
our backyard. Backyard. Yeah. It didn't break, thankfully, anything necessarily, but it could have killed me if I was there. And I was bringing some plants and I was like, oh my God, like if another branch falls, I could die. Anyway, Pierce was texting me because of the wind. He was like, I heard a very loud explosion in the city that it was genuinely concerning. And then you sent that article later on about the multiple windows that flew off multiple buildings in downtown San Francisco. And I was like,
yeah, listen.
All those buildings were sighted, by the way. Thank fucking God. They should be.
Glass windows are shattering on SF high rises. Is downtown safe? San Francisco officials are scrambling to reassure the public that they are safe to walk through downtown neighborhoods after a monster scale on Tuesday caused windows to crack along 20 of 60 floors at Salesforce Towers building.
20 different floors.
All the windows cracked on like 20 different floors.
Oh, mama, that bill.
They said they found cracked windows on 20 floors.
Oh, you can't be in that building. Abandon it.
And then was like, and also battered three other glass sheathed high rises. The Board of Supervisors, President Aaron Peskin, whose district includes one of the storm lash structures, said he's prepared to move heaven and earth to make sure that every tall building in SF is comprehensively inspected, quote.
Yeah, because like
what these the are not fuck? One-offs, but part of a pattern that is likely to be the new normal as our weather systems change.
Also the new normal because we build shitty buildings. Like New York has winds that go up to like 100 miles per hour and they don't
nobody
do this.
Was injured. Winds hit over 85 miles per hour.
Damn.
I felt it.
Okay, it felt like that for a minute.
You know where my window is in my new apartment? There's no trees over there.
Yeah.
One of the trees that must be like 300 feet away, a branch from it flew, broke off, and literally smacked my window with the force of like 1,000 hurricanes. And I was like, I jumped and screamed because you know where my chair is.
It's coming down now.
My chair is like facing back of my head is facing the window. And I'm just like sitting there watching like fucking the Real Housewives of Miami reunion. And the fucking, my whole window goes boom. And I was like, and I jump up and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was in a Zoom call and had to like turn off my mic
guys,
and camera because I thought a building fell.
No, guys, literally, there's nothing near my windows. Like, it was a branch that was like 6 feet long. Like, and there's no trees for like 300 feet in all directions of my window. I was like, yo, I'm not down for this.
Yeah, so that branch that fell off in my backyard is from like this 100-foot tall redwood that will probably survive a hurricane itself. But I was like, oh, if that fell on this house, like they would bisect it in half. And that branch that fell off it is like 15 feet long. It's no joke. It is as if a car fell.
So Salesforce, stuff.
It was also 555 California, which is that other huge building.
So yeah, 550 California Street and then also 1400 Mission. So the one at 350 Mission Street East, Salesforce East, bore the most severe scars with windows popping or splintering on every floor from 11 to 30.
Shut it down. Shut it down. So our buildings also, need to be built to withstand this shit.
Entire sections of Mission Street had to be closed Wednesday to clear shattered windows.
Oh, good God.
Matt.
We're not ready. We're not ready for any of it. Tornadoes.
The window that ruptured at cyclones. Millennium Tower measured a foot wide and roughly 3 feet long, and it overlooked the steel geometric lines and leaden sky over the financial
district.
Don't
you love how they talk about... So they apparently was literally the eye of a cyclone that crossed over San Francisco yesterday. And don't you love how cyclones are just another word for hurricane? They're like not a hurricane, technically speaking, but they function and operate the same as a hurricane. It's just a different formation of a similar pattern. I was like, oh, we just have hurricanes on the West Coast now. Love to see it.
They said the reason why no one was probably injured was because half of the windows fell either onto a vacant condominium or onto scaffolding attached to the building as it undergoes $100 million in retrofitting.
Oh, because it was also that building that's leaning, right? The Millennium Tower.
Yeah.
Double yikes.
Double
yikes. I can't wait till every property developer in San Francisco goes bankrupt from this.
I'm just happy it's like choke. Sunny out today.
Yeah, now it's all like calm and cool and collected.
Do you want to go get donuts? Is the donut place open?
They're open 24 hours.
Yes! Can we go get Colonial yeah. donuts?
Yes, please.
Fuck yes.
I've been craving those donuts.
Okay, well, we're done with the podcast for the week anyways. So
let's get the fuck out of here.
Three, two, one.
Hi, my name is Selena Gomez.
And if I tell you my darkest secrets, will you believe me?
These gays, they're trying to murder me.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.